Hilton and Marriott, as you well know, if you stay five nights on points, you get the fifth night free. It's a really great perk. And if you at IHG, you can get the fourth night free if you have certain credit cards from IHG. The old credit cards don't have it, so you have to have one of the new ones. We factor that in into if the user has that in their wallet, we'll tell them fourth night free for IHG. But in this use case scenario, we're looking at the Conrad Bora Bora here. And again, when you're trying to find that fifth night free for some of these more popular hotels, availability is that much harder because you're not just staying there for two nights or three nights. You had to get five nights in a row. You can't just cherry pick either. It can't be like two nights, one night off, three nights on. It doesn't work that way. It's five nights all in one block, which can be quite challenging. And so ultimately, this is what Waze is built for, to help get that user there.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from John Taylor Garner from Waze, which you might also recognize as our podcast sponsor for this month. Just for clarification, the ads from this month were sponsored by Waze, but this episode was not. This is just a normal hashtag non-sponsored episode. John describes himself as a disruptor, capitalizing on a love for travel, skill set in fintech, and orientation to innovation by building global teams and suites of products that unlock credit card earning and redemption to profit businesses and individuals. In this episode, John and I discuss his company's product, Waze, a site that makes it easy to make the most out of your hotel points and free night certificates. They also allow you to see up to 30 days of availability at a time for hard-to-book hotels like Alila Ventana Big Sur, and to take advantage of fifth-night free promotions at aspirational hotels like Conrad Bora Bora. We're also covering a demo of the different features of Waze in this episode, complete with visuals, on the GeoBreeze Travel YouTube channel. One of the favorite hotel programs we discuss on this channel is the Hyatt program, due to its award chart full of redemption sweet spots. You can earn Hyatt points with the World of Hyatt cards, Bilt cards, or Chase cards such as the Chase Sapphire Preferred. Remember, if you decide to apply for any of these cards, never apply directly through Google. Always use a friend or creator's referral link. And if you're interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, please check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And if you're not sure what card is right for you, I offer free credit card consultations at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. We have the links to the Hyatt card, the Bilt card, and the Chase Sapphire Preferred, and the free consultation form for you in the show notes as well. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipina-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking. Do you want to redeem your hotel free night certificates for maximum value? If you're not sure how to go about finding the best hotels that you can get with your free night certificates and when those hotels have availability, make sure you check out Waze. With Waze, you can customize your search with free night certificates, and Gold and Platinum members will also receive hotel deal alerts through the weekly newsletter for even more ways to make the most out of your hotel points and miles. Check out Waze and get a free 5-day trial at geobreezetravel.com/Waze before all of the awards space gets scooped up by everybody who already has an Waze account. Thank you to Waze for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Hey, John, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
I'm so excited to have you here. I'm very excited to tell people about your new product because I think this is really going to revolutionize and change the way that people search for award space with different hotels, especially anything like Alila Ventana Big Sur or Park Hyatt Kyoto, where it's those really aspirational ones that only have about 40 rooms on site. And people are always like, I can't ever find availability. I think that your site will probably make it so that anybody who has access gets that availability really easily, and everybody who doesn't have access is going to be hard pressed to find it, especially because it's just going to get scooped up by everybody who has access. But before we tell everybody about this exciting new product, tell us about you. Tell us about how you got into the world of points and miles, and how did you get started with all this?
Yeah, no, happy to share my experience. So I got my first personal credit card after I graduated college back in 2013. And from there, it was a slippery slope. I started with the Fidelity 2% cashback card, which, you know, no annual fee, was the only 2% cashback card at the time. It was pre-Citi Double Cash, before all those. And, you know, it was a hop, skip, and a jump away from, oh, let's collect points and miles because that's actually more fun and you get more bang for your buck. So I think in 2013, I opened up about 20 credit cards, but I only started in July. So 20 credit cards in about 6 months. And then 2014, I opened up probably about 40 credit cards. And it went off from there. At this point, I've lost track as to how many cars I've opened, actually. I racked up probably 35, 40 million miles at this point. Spent most of them.
And how fast of a time frame was this?
Since 2013, so over about 10 years.
Okay, so it wasn't in like 2 years where you were like, oh, I got 40 cards.
So in the first year, I got 20. The second year, I got about 40 credit cards. So I got about 60 credit cards over 2 years.
Were a lot of these business credit cards, or how is this impacting your credit score at all? Because normally people are afraid to open more than like 5 or 6 is a little bit too slippery for most beginners.
So back then, I would say nowadays it's much harder to open that many. But back then it was the Wild West. If you remember Greg from Frequent Miler, he did the Virgin Atlantic speed run. He got millions and millions of Virgin Atlantic miles from, I don't know how many cards he opened. It had to have been at least 30 or 40 different, specifically Virgin Atlantic B of A cards. And so there were no real rules in place as to your caps, particularly from Barclays or Bank of America or some of the non like Chase or Amex. This was also pre-524. 524 did not exist at Chase. So you can open up as many Chase cards as you wanted. So there was a lot more wiggle room. I was a volatility trader at Merrill Lynch, so I had a higher than average income. And the only thing holding me back was I kept hitting the credit limit caps at banks, i.e. that allocated me so much credit that the only way I could get new cards was I had to reallocate credit from my existing cards to new cards, which I was happy to do. It was a simple phone call. Or they asked me to close old cards, which also was not a problem. So overall, my credit score went up, which is counterintuitive. But the reason why your credit score goes up, as I'm sure you're well aware, is your credit utilization rate goes down, right? Your average total number of accounts goes up. And over time, your average age of accounts goes up too, but it also takes a hit when you get new cards. But over time, it builds its way back up. So you have the initial ding on your credit score from a hard pull that rolls off really about 6 months. And it's on your report for 2 years, but the impact's only about 6 months. And also at the time, you could load up and mass apply for cards all one day, and they couldn't see them on your reports. So I think I did about 10 cards in a day at one point. So those were the rules back then. They do not apply now. There's Chase 524. Bank of America has one of the 2-3-4 rule. So there are a lot more limitations in place. And so if anyone's starting out, I would, yes, 5 or 6 cards in a year is definitely a good number. And even for the experts, I think it's hard to open more than 10 or 15 in a year these days, just because the rules have changed so much.
We don't talk about Bank of America too much on the show. Tell us about the 2-3-4 rule.
So the 2-3-4 rule, as I understand it, and again, I am not an expert in credit card openings, basically you're not allowed to open up more than 2 credit cards from Bank of America within a 90-day period, no more than 3 credit cards within a 180-day period, and no more than 4 credit cards in a year, I believe is the 2-3-4 rule, as I understand it. This does not really apply to business cards per se. There's no hard and fast rule. Some have been affected by it, some have not. It depends on how Bank of America is feeling on any given day.
And those are for Bank of America specific cards. So if you opened one Bank of America and then a whole bunch of Chase, Amex, Citi, Capital One, Bilt cards, they don't really care.
Exactly. It's not like Chase 524, where Chase cares about what you open across all banks. This is specifically for Bank of America, which prevents you from doing what Greg did or what I did. I opened up a bunch of MLB cashback cards. At the time, it was $500 minimum spend to get $300 sign-up bonus. So it was actually a very large sign-up bonus per spend ratio. I loaded up on those guys. I think I got like 20 of them in a year or something. So it's prevent people from doing that. I think we had some impact on the rules changing, but everyone else was doing it. So it was bound to happen.
So now that it is no longer the Wild West, how are you earning your points these days?
So I am much more tame. Unfortunately, I don't have as much time dedicated to opening up all these cards. So the number of cards I've opened up in the past couple of years has tailed off drastically. I'm actually under 524, which I never thought I would say that ever. But I'm under 524, which is a remarkable feat. All the cards I open up these days are business cards because of my startup, Odin. And I open them up for Odin. I'm only opening like 3, 4, maybe 5 in a given year. But all the cards I'm opening don't hit my personal credit report. So that's why I'm under Chase 524. But the way I earn most of my points actually is from small business spend, generally just hitting the spending multipliers, any temporary bonuses that come my way. That's how I've been doing. And I focus mostly on my Chase Inc. Unlimited card, 1.5x everywhere, combines very nicely with my personal Sapphire Reserved. I have the Business Platinum, Amex Business Platinum, for that lounge access mostly. And then finally, I spend a decent amount on my Citi AA business card because, as you know, the easiest way to earn AA status is through credit card spend these days. So I maintain my exact plat status with American Airlines through that.
So when you acquired these tens of millions of miles, where did you spend them?
All over. So I've been to almost 100 countries, almost exclusively in first class and business class, and stayed at some very nice and swanky hotels, which is obviously what we're here to talk about today. But the trip that really started the idea for Odin as a whole was a trip to Korea and Japan that I took with three of my good friends. So there's four of us. This was back when Chase transferred to Korean Air, RIP. That was a very nice partner. We flew New York to Seoul, Seoul to Tokyo, Osaka back to Seoul, Seoul back to New York, all on Korean Air first class for all four legs. We were gone for a total of 17 days. And so we stayed in five-star hotels for the entirety of the trip. And everything was on points and miles. And this was the first major group trip I had taken with my friends, just a group to begin with, on points and miles specifically. So I told them, okay, at the start of the year is January, right? I said, these are the credit cards we need to get. We have 6 months to hit the sign-up bonuses. We got the sign-up bonuses. And we booked everything in June for our trip in November. We went for fall foliage because we couldn't really time cherry blossoms. If you haven't gone for fall foliage, highly recommend it. Kyoto is spectacular. And this was before the Park Hyatt Kyoto. So we had to stay in the Hyatt Regency Kyoto, which is also a very nice hotel. And yeah, so we were able to stay in five-star hotels for 60 nights, all on points and miles. Or that was also back when Hilton, you got like two or three free nights for signing up for credit cards at any of the Hiltons. Citi had them as well as American Express, so we could double up on the Hiltons. So we say back then, I think the Conrad Osaka just had it opened up, and that was a brand new hotel, which was spectacular. The only thing that we ended up spending money on was food and drink and our Japan Rail Pass, and everything else was all in points and miles. So it was pretty remarkable. If you were to add up the cash value of the trip, not that we would have paid this because it was insane, it was about $26,000 per person, and did the whole thing for free. The total minimum spend per person was about $20,000. So if you were to compare that one-to-one, we actually made money by spending. You know, it's not fair math, but you get the point.
That is an incredible redemption. So throughout your points journey, at what point did you kind of pivot careers and say, I want to build apps? Because you're not a software engineer or an app developer by trade.
No, I'm not. So as I said before, I was a volatility trader for about 6 years. I ran the international macro cross-asset volatility book, which is a mouthful. Basically, it just means I traded everything. It's kind of like a garbage bin. Whenever people didn't want something, they gave it to me and I had to deal with it. It was a very interesting job. Absolutely loved it. I love the markets and love seeing how those play out, because it's constantly changing. The space is constantly evolving. There's no way to win. And it's kind of the same thing with points and miles. Like, the space is always changing. It's always evolving. The new cards coming in, there's old ones going away, new programs and transfer partners. Like, the space is always evolving, which is what I love about it. October 2018, and it's actually before then, but I left my job as a vol trader in October 2018. And leading up to that, I really had to like ask myself, what do I want to be doing for the next, you know, 5, 10, 15 years? Is trading really what I want to do? And I still do love it, but it wasn't my passion anymore. I was looking forward to those like long weekend trips that I was taking. Like, I would jet off to Europe just because like I had miles to burn for a 2 or 3 day trip. And I did this all the time, and I was doing it more and more. And then I also had my only mandated vacation, and I had a 2 week vacation mandated by law, because, you know, they had to check your books, make sure you're not doing anything shady. And I would just love the planning and the experience of that. Like, I a lot of people get stressed while planning trips or like doing things with large groups. I actually really enjoy it. People hit me up and they're like, hey, can you help me plan this? Or how do I transfer my miles to this? Can you help look for availability? Sure. And so I've been doing that for a while. I said, is there something that can be done with this? And my co-founder, my dad, actually, he was the one that pushed me to do this. Because he goes, you have something here. There's so much value that can be added to people's lives just from facilitating travel. And I think that the world needs to travel more because you experience new cultures and new people and new ideas, new ways of thinking. And it opens up your mind. And traveling is expensive traditionally, right? It's normally reserved for people who have disposable income as well as disposable time to go do that. If you have to work 3 jobs and you have no vacation, like, you can't go do that. But the beautiful thing about points and miles is you can basically travel for free. You're not paying cash to get on that flight or stay at those hotels. So it opens up a lot of doors for a lot of people. So that's what we're going after. And at the time in October 2018, no apps, web apps, mobile apps existed to automate that process, right? There was the points guy. Obviously, there's blogs that have been around for decades telling you how to earn points and miles on credit cards and sign up bonuses and how to plan trips. But it's very manual. And the user has to do this all on their own, and you have to stay up to date. Because again, as I said, space is always changing. So you can't just be like, okay, I know it and you're good. And then you put in your time and you're all set. But you have to stay on top of it. So it looks like at the time there's a great opportunity. And that's when we built our first mobile app. It took the users from A to Z, from telling you which card to use for any given purchase to how to fly to Tokyo in first class, right? It tells you which card to sign up for, what the sign-up bonus is, and what the cost of that trip is. And when we launched our app in March of 21 publicly on the App Store, right in the middle of COVID, by that time, we already saw the writing on the wall in that static award pricing was dying a very rapid death. Things were moving dynamic, driven mostly by Delta, because everyone follows Delta. And so we knew at some point we're going to have to build a live award pricer. And that's ultimately what brings me here today with the Waze and our launch of that, because at the end of the day, if you don't have accurate pricing, it doesn't matter how good your recommendations are. Without accurate pricing, then they're kind of arbitrary. So that's why we built a Waze.
So that started in 2018. So tell us a little bit, you have Odin and you have a Waze. Is a Waze just a product of the company Odin, or how does that relationship work?
Yeah, so a Waze is just a product of Odin. The full name is Waze by Odin. The reason why we have two separate names is because a Waze purely focuses on travel redemption. So redemption of points and miles. So it's a travel focused product. A Waze, hopefully when people hear that name, they think of like traveling somewhere, like going abroad, exploring. Odin as a whole doesn't really mean anything per se, but Odin is a Norse god. Our spelling of Odin is one of the verified derivatives of Odin's name. There's like 15 different ways to spell it. Odin's the Norse god of just about everything, but particularly wisdom and prosperity, right? And so Odin is a parent company. Ultimately, our goal is to fully optimize awards. What that means is telling you how to earn points and miles and telling you how to spend points and miles. Now, the spending of points and miles is predominantly travel focused. And so we wanted to segment the products in such a way that it wasn't confusing. So Odin's everything else, earning credit cards, is more fintechy, is what Odin's focus in a way is more travel techy, if that makes sense. And ultimately, a ways is just the first step. We still have our mobile app in the App Store. It's called Card Curator. That was our previous name. But we're in the process of completely rebuilding that mobile app. And once we do, we're going to plug in all the Waze's functionality into that mobile app so that users will be taken from A to Z again, but this time with live pricing. And so a Waze will be part of the Odin mobile app as well, and we'll be able to segment it off. But ultimately, a lot of our business that we do is B2B. So we have licenses and agreements with various business partners where they're not really interested in our UI UX or the consumer-facing version of a Waze. They care about our data, right? Our award pricing, if you will. And so they pay us for our API use. And so that's how we've delineated it.
Because the way that you're pulling stuff in, you have a database that basically says, here's every available date for all the Hilton hotels. Here's how much they charge for any given night. So it's just like a goldmine of data behind the scenes. But for those of us who are more consumers rather than B2B, you also have an interface for us to interact with this through a Waze. So if you want to go ahead and pull up your demo, because I know you have a demo for us today. And for anybody listening to this on the podcast, this is a fantastic reminder that we have this available for you on YouTube as well, where you will be able to see everything that we are pointing to. We are going to try to describe everything that's going on through the podcast, but just so you know, we do have visuals for you ready to go on the GeoBreeze Travel YouTube channel. So walk us through a Waze and how it works and the different use cases that somebody would do. So here we have a slide deck with some different screenshots of what you can do with the Waze website.
Here's a map of London. And what we've gone ahead and done is shown that you can filter on your desired hotel chain. So right now we're just showing IHG and Marriott. We also have Hilton and Hyatt, as you can see above in the far right corner. And in essence, all we're showing are these chain hotels. Are there other hotels in London? Yes, there are hundreds and thousands of other hotels in London. But the whole point of what we're doing here is comparing dollars to points to transferable programs. And so as you can see here, for example, the Hotel Indigo in London, we have the dollar rate for $313, points rate for 43,800 points. And then we have the transferable programs on the right. In the live version, you'll be able to see that this is rotating from not just Chase, but also Bilt. That's another transfer partner that transfers to IHG. We also tell you what the best value is for the nights of your stay, be it points or cash. And we do this for all the hotel chains.
Here, what you're saying is we can tell, should you use points or should you use cash for a given hotel redemption, which I know is a very common question that people have, where people are like, is this a good redemption? Should I use points? Should I save my points for something else? This makes it really easy to see, hey, for this hotel, you should use points. For this one, you should save your points and use cash because you're getting a pretty low valuation when you redeem it. That's what this is telling us.
Exactly. That's exactly what it's telling you. And so people do have that question. I have that question all the time. We internally have a valuation for all points and miles, which we actually derive objectively from users on our platform. So our valuation is constantly updating, right? And there's no super powerful formula or crazy science going on behind it. It's actually very simple, right? You average the point at which people are redeeming points over miles or vice versa. And then you come and whatever that intersection is, that's the value of that point. And you do this for all of them.
If you get a whole bunch of new people in here who have no idea what they're doing, does that just drive down what the value of a point is then? Where if I would value Hyatt at about 2 cents per point, but if you get a whole bunch of people in here who are always just like, use Hyatt points wherever, I hear Hyatt points are great, and they're actually redeeming it for really bad redemptions, is that eventually going to water down the recommendation where if you're only getting 1.5 cents for a Hyatt redemption, it's still going to say, oh yeah, use points because everybody else did? Is that a risk?
On the surface, yes, but we won't allow that. There is more nuance behind what I was just saying. So there's weighting going on. So the previous weighting of our objective valuations start really high, and then all new members that are coming in get weighted very lowly. So we can tell who's redeeming at what point. And so internally, we have expert redemption people, and then we have the newbies, if you will. And the expert redemption people have a lot more weight in their redemptions than the newbies. So we are keeping it very accurate. Obviously, if there was a deluge of new people that were completely, like say they were redeeming high points for like 0.5 cents or something egregious, then we would just weight them down less. So we're always open to balancing it. But the point is there's no like complex formula going on here. It's just simple weightings of users. But in grand scale, the newbies will be balanced out by the experts to the point where you can still arrive at as close to the true value of those points miles programs.
So this tells us whether we should use points or miles. What other common questions can be answered with this site?
So the exciting questions that people tend to have are the famous hotels, if they're available or not. So we know that Park Hyatt Kyoto, very, very swanky hotel. A lot of people want to go there. So as you can see, we have the ability to search individual hotels as well as cities. So I'll just go back previously. Here's all of London in one image. You can scroll around and filter through. In this, we're showing just the Park Hyatt Kyoto. So you can search by individual hotels if you're trying to hone in and you know exactly where you want to stay. Not everybody does. And so same results here. We're telling you what the best value is. Is it cash or is it points? And as you can see here, you're getting approximately 3 cents per Hyatt point, which is pretty good value. If you click through into the Park Hyatt, as you can see for your 3-day trip, ultimately the total cash value is $3,246. And in this hypothetical wallet, the user only has 10,000 Chase points. So the reason why we're saying the best value is dollars is because the user does not have enough Hyatt points to actually book it on points. Ultimately, they are short 90,000 Hyatt points, which the total booking of this would be 10,000 Hyatt points for the given dates. If they had 100,000 Hyatt points or 100,000 Chase points, then we would be telling them to use their Chase points. But because we know what's in their wallet, they don't have enough.
So this wouldn't recommend go buy Hyatt points because they might still be better off just purchasing the Hyatt points if the purchase price on points.com or something were less than 3 cents per point, right?
Yes, exactly. So unfortunately, we don't have the partnership links with points.com in here yet. We are currently working on that. It is a long process because while points.com is eager and excited, we have to get approval from the individual hotel programs to get them embedded in here, which is a bit of a process. But yes, in that case, if you're able to acquire points for less than that, then we recommend users go buy them. We unfortunately can't put the links directly on our page.
If somebody just doesn't have their points reported into a Waze, is it always just going to say use cash because you don't have points? It's not going to say go get yourself some points?
Currently, the way we have it set up is to tell the user how to book most efficiently given their current wallet. But we are waiting on the points.com partnership to say go buy points. But we're always looking to improve and expand the feature set. So if users say that they want that notification, we're happy to put that in there and say, hey, go buy points. Unfortunately, we still can't put that link in there, but we can tell users where to go.
Yeah, even if it's not buying points through a ways, it can be like, hey, make a trade with a friend or yes. do something, like do what you got to do to get these points, open a Chase card, get a Built card, route your spending to Chase or Built or Hyatt cards, like do what you got to do to get points, because I wouldn't want somebody to look at like a Lila Ventana Big Star Park Hyatt Kyoto and then think, oh, the better way to go is to spend $2,000 a night because I don't have points, because that's what points would be for. Mm-hmm. Like that would be the exact situation where we would say you need to get yourself some points if you want to stay at this hotel.
That's very true. And that point of acquiring points through sign-up bonuses and credit cards, we are putting that in there. That's where I guess the Odin's being integrated into a ways. So we will have that because we obviously are not shy to tell people to go apply for new credit cards to get more points and miles. So that feature set is forthcoming and will be coming shortly.
Another thing when people are looking at hotels like Alila Ventana or Park Hyatt Kyoto, sometimes they'll be like, I have the points, I just don't know when the availability is when I can get these hotels. So does Aways tell us that too?
Yeah, so if you see up here in the right-hand corner, there's the calendar view. And so if you click on that calendar view, here is the availability for June, July in Kyoto. Obviously, June, July is not peak season for visiting Kyoto. We all know that peak season's around March, April for cherry blossom, and then the fall around October, November. And so as you can see, there are quite a few days that are available, also quite a few that are not available for the Park Hyatt Kyoto. We highlight the lowest cash day and the lowest points day, which usually coincide because points are correlated to cash value for peak and off-peak pricing with Hyatt. But this will allow people to decide when the best time is to visit. And this gives you a full 30-day, technically 31-day windows, plus minus 15 days on the start day of your trip to get that availability and make it easier to plan.
So this has the live availability baked in there. It's not like the Hyatt points calendar where they say, here's the points price for any given day, but you may or may not actually have any rooms on that day. This is better than that. Correct.
Exactly. So as you can see, every single day here has cash pricing. That means that there is some type of room available for cash. Some of the rooms are a bit more expensive. So as you can see, Saturday, June 3rd, ultimately, that's probably a suite of some sort because it's $3,500, is three times the price of any of the other rooms. But there's no points availability, which makes sense because it's not available for that pricing. Whereas if you meander on further down, the days that are like around $1,000, that's when there is points pricing. That means that there is a base room available. And so unlike the high calendar as you state, we do pull in availability and we display it in a full calendar like Hyatt does, except for we actually are not only telling you the price, we're telling you that price is actually bookable given the room is available to be stayed in.
If there are any hotels, like I think Alila implemented something where you have to book a minimum of two nights sometimes. Does this calendar reflect that?
That is a great question. We are factoring in whatever the rules are. So if the user is searching for one night, they're obviously not going to get availability on our page. So if we move on to the Alila Ventana here, we have 3 days. So the reason why we search 3 days is because we know that you need a minimum two to ultimately stay there. If the user was to search for one, then they would see an NA for points booking. Now the calendar, if we click on through, so here in this use case, obviously, the wallet has 135,000 Hyatt points, which is why we're telling the user to use their Hyatt points because this is a great deal. If you were to click through to the calendar, this is assuming that you're staying minimum two nights, because if you were to stay one night, the entire calendar would be NA for points availability. So we are baking those rules in. We don't explicitly tell the user. We are balancing how much detail we want to add to screens versus not, because at some point we also want to display our internal valuation for points to tell users exactly how much, you know, they're getting per point, what their value per point is compared to the average. So people can feel one really good about their redemption rates, but also just so they can learn and grow. But there's a balancing act between having all that information and having too much on the screen. It's going to be overwhelming, particularly for a new product. And as people are getting used to it, you want to have a little bit less information and then you can add more in the future. So in the future, we might have a information like a little eye with a green circle that user can click on and get the full details. But again, if you're on a Hyatt page, they would tell you, you need two nights to stay here. So that's what we're displaying here.
Yeah, this is super useful because if somebody was like, hey, I want to go stay at Alila Ventana Big Star, I hear it's like a really nice resort. It is. It's fantastic. I've been there. I booked it again. You can easily tell from this calendar, like, okay, it looks like if you wanted to go in March or April, then pretty much Fridays and Saturdays are all booked for the dates we're looking at the calendar, but we can say,
Really surprising.
Yeah, that's not surprising at all. But if we were like, well, I really want to go, when can I go? Then you can figure out what other dates actually have availability. So this is a super useful feature because I know that people in the past have been dependent on other people like sending out alerts or posting to their stories about, oh my God, I found availability at Alula. And so now somebody can just use this tool, find all of the availability. And unfortunately, good luck to anybody who doesn't have this tool because it's going to get really scraped up by everybody who has access to this and just like grabs all of the availability for Alula, Park Hyatt Kyoto, a lot of the ones in Greece, like a lot of those small luxury hotels, the Grand Canvas Oia Suites, that one was hard to get. So that's another one that's a good use case for using Oia. So if you have any of those aspirational bucket list Hyatt hotels on your list where you're like, I just cannot find any availability, this tool is very, very useful for those.
100%. And to reiterate, we go out the full length of their calendar for all the hotels. Some are 13 months, some are 12 months. So it varies. We go as far as the hotels allow us to. And so if you're looking to plan a trip 12 months out, we have that availability. And again, weekends here are obviously going to be hard to come by. But if you're looking to plan a trip 12 months out, then you probably have a better bet than 1 month away to get that weekend spot.
So what other questions does your site answer that people often have about points and miles other than, when is this hotel even available?
Another good example is fifth and fourth night free. So Hilton and Marriott, as you well know, if you stay five nights on points, you get the fifth night free. It's a really great perk. And if you at IHG, you can get the fourth night free if you have certain credit cards from IHG. The old credit cards don't have it, so you have to have one of the new ones. We factor that into if the user has that in their wallet, we'll tell them fourth night free for IHG. But in this use case scenario, we're looking at the Conrad Bora Bora here. And again, when you're trying to find that fifth night free for some of these more popular hotels, availability is that much harder because you're not just staying there for two nights or three nights. You had to get five nights in a row. You can't just cherry pick either. It can't be like two nights, one night off, three nights on. It doesn't work that way. It's five nights all in one block, which can be quite challenging. And so ultimately, this is what Waze is built for, to help get that user there. And so in this use case, there's a lot more points going on in their wallet. We actually have Virgin Atlantic miles, which some people may or may not know. You can transfer them to Hilton. Maybe not the best redemption, but you can ultimately. And so if we click through here, you can see that the Hilton rate is 48,000 points per night. Standard is 120,000. So 48,000 for five nights is a really great deal at the Conrad Bora Bora.
480,000.
Sorry, 480,000. Yes.
You can't get anything for 48,000 Hilton points.
No, you can't. 480,000. Maybe an airport hotel.
Maybe an airport hotel in Indonesia. All right. This is awesome because, yeah, a lot of people have tried to get those fifth night free redemptions. People are always like, hey, mistakes were made and I got a whole bunch of Hilton points and now I don't know what to do. Can't really find a good way to use them. I found that the value in the Hilton program is really in their free night certificates. And then also if you can do this fifth night free thing, and if you can do it at a hotel like the Conrad Bora Bora, where it's very expensive and like that one night that you save is a huge amount of points. So if you can get one of those redemptions, that is fantastic. However, Conrad Bora Bora or the Maldives or any of the other like really aspirational Hilton hotels, again, like we mentioned, it's just hard to find five nights there. They only have a few of those overwater bungalows on Earth. So it's just hard to get those because anybody who has a lot of Hilton points is like, oh, I think I'll just go to the Conrad Bora Bora. So this will definitely help you find the available dates for those aspirational properties.
That just reminded me, I went back a slide here. We also factor in free night certificates. So for all chains. So as you can see here, free night certificates, we do it for Hilton, Hyatt, IHG, and Marriott. We have them all in. Obviously for Hilton, it's a bit easier. Vail, but I think 98% of their hotels, there's a select number that you can't use the free night certificates at. For Hyatt, it's also not too hard. It's based on categories. There's either up to category four or there's up to category seven. Marriott, there's a lot more excitement because there's like six different free night certificates that you can use. And they get more exciting because you can also combine them with points. You can add up 15,000 points per free night certificate to redeem them. And then IHG, while there's only one 40,000, depending on which IHG credit card you have. Again, you can add as many IHG points as you want to that free night certificate to redeem it. So there are some exciting rules in there, and you can use our filters here to select the hotels that are available to use free night certificates, which are always can be a giant pain to use, particularly if you're looking for, you know, Cat 4 Hyatt hotels around New York City. Borderline impossible.
If somebody had the question like, hey, I have one of those Hilton free night certificates, how do I squeeze the most value out of it possible? Does your site just say, here's the most expensive Hilton in the world that's available for the date you're trying to do? Or can you do that with any of them? Because I know some people are just very obsessed with being like, I saved $1,000 on my category 1 through 4 Hyatt hotel by finding this one hotel on this date. Can your site do that?
We can via our Deal Alerts newsletter, which we send out weekly. That's available for both Gold and Platinum users. Platinum will have more functionality and more ability to hone in on what they want to see in that newsletter. But we highlight the best values of the week. So it's a weekly newsletter. With Platinum, we're going to be sending out a little more often. We're still playing with it. But we highlight the best deals in the most exciting areas. We don't just take the top like 20 deals for the week, because they could all be in like Omaha, Nebraska. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's not terribly exciting. So we cherry pick the ones that we think are the most exciting. In terms of just like selecting Hyatt free night certificate, give me the world, we don't currently do that because that's a lot of data to display all in one go on the servers. We are gearing up. We're in V2, which should be out shortly. We will have the ability to drag and zoom in live and interact with the map, so it constantly loads, so you don't have to search for new places to get your pins. And the hope is by then we'll be able to display the whole world, but it is very data intensive to search everything all in one go. So unfortunately, the best way to do it is via the Deal Alerts newsletter that we have, but that is something that we can definitely look into for those value-obsessed users.
We have a lot of value-obsessed users who listen to this podcast week after week. No shade to you guys. Every redemption is a win. Celebrate even the small wins, but I too have been one of those people where I was like, I have a Hilton free night certificate. What is the most expensive hotel in the world? Grand Wailea in Maui was the answer when I got that free night certificate. And luckily it lined up with a Hawaii trip that we were already taking, but I might've drugged myself over to Maldives if I was just like that crazy person at that time. I have to get my free night certificate. But yeah, I know a lot of people would be really excited for that functionality too, to just see what's the best way to use their free night certificates. So you mentioned like the Gold and the Platinum. Tell us a little bit about the different membership tiers and how does this work and how much do they cost?
There are 3 tiers. The first one's just a ways. It's totally free. There's no personalization. There's no tailored recommendations or anything of that sort. It's just search. So the user is able to search anywhere in the world for any hotel. You get the full calendar of the availability. You can't look at the calendars. We don't allow that in the free version. But if you can search one by one, whatever date blocks you want, we will not charge for that. Think of it like Google Flights or Kayak. You don't pay to use Google Flights. You don't pay to use Kayak. We don't want to charge for search. So if people just want to search and they have their own information, they want to do all their math in their own head, that's perfect. That's exactly for you. The next tier is Gold. Gold, we charge $5.99 a month or $50 for the year. So the annual price is steeply discounted. And with Gold, the users get a little bit more personalization. That's one, the Deal Alert newsletter, which will come out weekly. And it's super helpful for people if you're just trying to think of ideas of where you want to go and where you're going to be getting. The Deal Alert newsletter has a cap minimum of 2.5x value of redemption. So we have our internal points valuation. We'll only display hotels that you're getting at least 2.5 times our internal valuation of redemption. So for those people that are redemption value obsessed, it's a great thing to look at. Also in Gold, we have 4th and 5th night free for Marriott, Hilton, IHG. And then we have the free night certificates. So you can filter on free night certificates. Finally, in Gold, there's also a 7-day calendar view. So if you were to click on the calendar, you can get plus or minus 3 days on either side of your trip. Moving on to Platinum. Platinum is $11.99 or $100 for the year. Again, steep annual discount. And with Platinum, you get the single hotel search. So you can check in on those very swanky hotels that people love, right? Like the Park Hyatt Kyoto or Conrad Bora Bora. And you also have, as we showed, the 30-day calendar view. Technically, it's 31 days. It's plus minus 15 days on the other side, but 30 days sounds a little better. We also factor in all of your points, miles, balances. So we have wallet and awards that you can see up here. And in that, you input your credit cards. You're not inputting personal details of your credit cards. It's what credit card types you have. If you have a specific ISG card, Chase Sapphire Reserve, so on and so forth, as well as your balances with the various banking programs like Chase Ultimate Rewards or Amex Membership Rewards, as well as the individual hotel programs like Hilton or Hyatt or IHG. What we do with these, as you see here, we tell you how to combine all your points miles to go on that trip ultimately. And so we do the heavy lifting for you. We factor in the conversion rates. We also factor in transfer bonuses. So if American Express is running a, you get an extra one Hilton point for your transfer. So instead of one Amex points to two Hilton points, it's one to three. Then you're starting to get some excise value, and we factor that in for you. And this is where the tailored and personalized recommendations come in, because we're telling you how to book this trip and you don't have to think about it. And we also help with the transferring of the program. So as you can see here, there's transfer links to each different program to take you directly to that landing page to transfer from, for example, here, Amex to Hilton. So all that's in Platinum. And Platinum also, we've talked about some upcoming and future functionality. One that has been requested by many, many people who are in our private beta and public beta is suite awards, particularly at Hyatt. That is a no easy task. And I'm not going to bore you with the details of how the engines that need to run to pull in this information, but it is very data intensive. You can't just, you know, go onto the Hyatt calendar view and say, okay, look, we have all the pricing, because as you know, that's not true availability. But that will be coming, and that will be a Platinum only feature as well. So we'll help people book the suites at some of these really nice hotels. And that availability, as we all know, is incredibly limited. So the only way that you'll be able to see it is with a platform like ours.
Yeah, if you guys want to do the specific drilling down into a particular hotel, get the Platinum one. If you want to get the deal alerts, you can do Platinum or Gold. Or if you just want to do the searching on your own, then try out the free version. Awesome. Anything else that you want to share with us about Aways or Odin? I know some people are thinking, but can you do this with flights?
We do have flights internally, not publicly available. We are currently in quality control testing. I can say that we have all the US majors internally, and we have a couple of the international carriers as well. Not going to divulge which ones or the number of that we have so far, but we are working on it and trying to get it to a place where we are happy. We only release products that we are 100% happy with. We are getting there. As you can imagine, flights are trickier in a different way. Not that they are inherently trickier than hotels, but there's a lot more permutations of flight routes and cities to cities with the number of flights in between. Like, just take New York to London, for example. You have multiple different airports that you're flying from New York, multiple airports in London, and then you have all the different carriers with all the different times that they're flying in between in any given day. It's just large data that we're dealing with here. But when we do release it, it will be part of Aways, and we will offer a special discount bundle for flights and hotels for people looking to book the whole trips. And the beautiful thing about that is a lot of these programs, you can kill two birds with one stone. Amex not only transfers to hotels, it transfers to airlines as well. Same with Chase and a lot of the major programs. So if you're looking to book a trip where you happen to be flying on, I don't know, say ANA to Tokyo, and then you're staying at a Marriott there, you don't need to have Marriott and ANA points and miles, right? You can just use Amex if you have enough Amex points to do the whole thing. The way that you kill two birds with one stone is you apply for Amex specific credit cards like the Platinum, you get the 150,000 point signup bonus, and then you're able to do that in one go. So that's what's coming in the future for Aways, and we're really excited to get that out, but it's going to be a little bit longer because we want to ensure that we're putting out quality products.
So in that situation, are you recommending that they transfer Amex membership rewards to Marriott? Because it's very hard to get good valuation that way. Or are you recommending that they would get like an Amex co-branded like Marriott Brilliant card?
So in that scenario, you're right. We would never recommend, if you have zero Marriott points, to transfer all your Amex over to Marriott, even if they're running a transfer bonus. I think the highest I've seen is like 60%. Even then, it's still not a good idea. We would only recommend it for topping up. So if the users had like some Marriott points, but they're a little bit short. But yes, ultimately, if they have zero Marriott points, then ultimately the best way would to get a co-branded Marriott card, either from Amex or from Chase. We're just showing it as a possibility that if you only wanted to apply for one credit card, right, you got 150,000 Amex points from the Amex Platinum, then you could theoretically do that. Now, I don't think you'll be flying in ANA first class and staying in five-star Marriott hotels in Tokyo on just that one credit card, because it'll cost a little bit more than that. But you could potentially fly there in coach and stay at a Fairfield Inn. It could be done. Personally, would not recommend it, but you could do it.
I always like to wrap these up with a shout out. So can you give a shout out to somebody else on the internet who has been really instrumental in your points and miles journey and helping you learn all your points and miles knowledge along the way?
Yeah, I have to say I've been an avid reader of Frequent Miler as well as Dr. Credit, but mostly Frequent Miler. I've met Greg a couple times. He's a really great guy. And I think he goes above and beyond to tell his readers what he thinks, and he clearly delineates between what he's trying to get at is objective truth in terms of valuations, as well as like what his opinion is. And he makes that pretty clear. I feel like some other bloggers can blur those lines or not make them so abundantly clear. And I think he really does go out of his way to emphasize that, which not only helps instill trust in him as a resource and expert in the space, but also it helps new people who are just starting to get their foothold in the game of credit card points and miles to really learn it quickly, because they know what's fact and what's opinion. And so I think he does a great job of that.
Perfect. And where can people find you on the internet? I'm going to have links to Aways and everything else in the show notes. But if anybody wants to reach out to you for any questions about the product or anything else, where can people find you?
Yeah. So odin.com, the bottom line, contact us is support@odin.com. is the main email. If you are looking for some help or if you have any questions, always happy to answer. It's usually me or one of my team members. You can also find me on LinkedIn. That's my main social network platform. We do have a Twitter account as well at OdinCC. You can find us there and DM us or tweet at us, and we also respond. Our Instagram is available. We aren't as active on that anymore, but if that's how you want to communicate, we do check that regularly too.
Perfect. Well, thank you again, John, so much for coming on to the show today, telling us all about Aways and Odin, because I'm so excited to use this. And I think it almost gives like an unfair advantage to everybody who has this for finding those very, very elusive award redemptions. So everybody should go check this out. If you're like, oh, what's like the secret sauce that some people have that others don't, and how are you finding these award redemptions? This is probably the answer for hotels.
That's exactly why we built it. And I cannot wait to get people's feedback and grow this product, because we are basing it on our users' feedback, and we take it very personally, and we change our roadmaps based on what our users are telling us. So we're excited.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!